This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
What crushed your ex after they smiled? Signing the divorce papers. Story one. When we got divorced, he looked smug, like he just won something. He even winked at me as he handed the pen back to the lawyer. Fast forward 10 months. He had moved in with his dream girl from the gym, and I had taken time to focus on myself. I got into therapy, started running, even adopted a dog. Then I got promoted. Not just a little bump, but a huge one. I became the youngest regional director in the company's history. At a conference where I was giving a keynote, he showed up. He was doing some side hustle stuff, trying to network. His girlfriend had left him for someone richer, and he was living with his mom again. When I walked past him on that stage in my tailored suit, with the applause still echoing, I saw his face drop. It was the first time I'd seen him look unsure in years. That was better than any revenge. Story 2. She grinned wide when we signed the divorce papers. Said, "This is the best decision of my life," like I was holding her back or something. I was devastated. She moved out that weekend and went full party mode. New Instagram posts every day with hashtags like #1 freedom and #1 living my best life. Then 2 years later, I got a call from a mutual friend. She had tried to get into law school and got rejected, ended up in serious debt from moving cities without a plan, and was working retail. Nothing wrong with it, but definitely not the glow-up she boasted about. Meanwhile, I'd opened my own business, moved into a loft downtown, and started dating someone calm, grounded, and kind. The kicker? She messaged me, just to catch up, said she missed how I used to make coffee every morning and how safe she felt around me. I just left her on read. Story 3. He practically danced out of the courthouse. I remember sitting in my car afterward and just crying until I couldn't breathe. He thought the grass was greener with some girl he met at a bar who understood him better. They got engaged 6 months later. On their wedding day, I found out from a mutual acquaintance that the bride didn't show up, left him a note saying she realized he was emotionally manipulative and still obsessed with controlling people. He was crushed. I had rebuilt by then. I learned woodworking, my weird bucket list item, started volunteering, and eventually met someone through that volunteer work who truly listened to me. We're not married, but we're happy. And I heard my ex moved back in with his dad and refuses to talk about relationships now. Story 4. My ex-wife smiled, actually smiled, when she signed the divorce papers. Said something smug like, "I can finally breathe again." She left for a guy who wore designer everything and drove a Tesla. He was flashy. I was practical. 1 year later, her new man got indicted for wire fraud. Turns out he was living large on other people's stolen money. She got caught up in the mess, too. Her accounts were frozen, and she had to move back into her childhood bedroom at age 34. Meanwhile, I'd quietly climbed the ladder at work, built a house with a workshop in the back, and adopted 2 cats. She called me last Christmas, said she made a huge mistake. I told her I hoped she found peace, then hung up and made hot cocoa with my girlfriend, who actually liked me for being boring. Story 5. We signed the papers and he smirked like he'd just been set free from jail. He even had a date that night with someone 15 years younger. He was 42. I was 40 and felt discarded. I didn't do anything drastic. Just joined a hiking club, took some classes, and reconnected with old friends. 2 years later, I'm at a charity gala where I'd helped organize the entire event. Guess who walks in? My ex. Alone. He looked tired. Bitter. He came up and said, "You look incredible." Turns out the younger woman ghosted him after maxing out his credit card. His business had slowed down. I, on the other hand, had just been nominated for a local leadership award. The best part? I wasn't even trying to impress him. I had already moved on. He just finally saw what he threw away. Story 6. He actually fist-bumped our divorce lawyer. Said something like, "Cheers to freedom." I sat there in stunned silence, trying not to cry. We had been married for 11 years. I gave up my art career to support him through law school, and when he finally made partner, he said he needed someone more exciting. Cool. So I left. I didn't fight him for the house or even the car. Just wanted to be free of the pain. What he didn't expect, though, was that I'd rebuild faster than he did. I reopened my art commissions, started selling online, and eventually launched my own brand. It took time, but I built a small empire, collaborated with local galleries, got featured in a couple magazines, and even spoke at a creative summit in NYC. The best part? He tried to reconnect 2 years later after a messy breakup with the woman he left me for. She had cheated on him with her personal trainer. He came to one of my exhibitions uninvited and just stood there, looking at my name in bold letters across the gallery wall. I walked past him and said, "Enjoy your freedom," then kept walking. The look on his face? Priceless. Story 7. She laughed when the judge finalized it. Laughed. Said, "This is the start of my real life." We had 2 kids and a mortgage, but she insisted I was holding her back from her influencer journey. She wanted to move to LA, start fresh, and build a following. She moved out that week. 2 months later, she dropped the kids off late and forgot one of their backpacks. 6 months later, she asked me to take them for just a few weeks. Those weeks turned into permanent custody. She realized pretty quickly that posting gym selfies and sponsored tea ads wasn't paying the bills, and parenting got in the way of content creation. Now I raise our daughters full-time while working remotely in cybersecurity. My mom helps, and we have a rhythm. Meanwhile, she moved in with a guy 10 years younger who ended up cheating on her with one of her followers. She lost a brand deal for fake engagement, and when our kids asked her why she never visits anymore, she said she was just really busy. Funny, she used to say I was the one wasting her time. Story 8. We signed the divorce papers in the lobby of a courthouse that smelled like burnt coffee and cheap cleaning spray. He was texting someone the whole time. I later found out it was the woman he'd been cheating with. Someone from his kickball leagues, of all things. I moved back in with my sister, spent a few months completely unmoored. I'd been a stay-at-home mom for 8 years and had no idea what to do next. Then my sister pushed me to enroll in a coding boot camp. I was terrified. I hadn't even touched a terminal before. But I learned. I studied while my son was at school. Graduated, got a junior dev job, eventually leveled up. Cut to 3 years later, I'm making more than he ever did, bought a townhouse, and just came back from a 2-week vacation in Italy with my son. He, on the other hand, got fired for inappropriate behavior at work, and the woman he cheated with left him the moment his money dried up. He called once, asking if I'd be open to rebuilding our friendship. I told him I was too busy writing scripts for both work and my life. Story 9. My ex-wife practically skipped out of the courthouse like she was heading to Coachella. She'd already posted a TikTok that morning about breaking free from negative energy. I was the negative energy, apparently. 3 months later, I saw her post a soft launch of her new boyfriend, who was 23 and worked as a barista/DJ. I couldn't stop laughing. We were 36. I knew the relationship would crash and burn, and it did. He ran off with her car and laptop while she was asleep. She tried to accuse me of setting him up, like I was some evil mastermind. Meanwhile, I had started going to therapy, hit the gym, and actually made peace with the fact that I was too focused on work during our marriage. But now I had balance. I even started going to local poetry readings and met someone who wrote for a living. We're not rushing anything, just content, something I never had in my marriage. She saw us once at the farmer's market and looked stunned. I just smiled and kept walking. A week later, she texted me, "You look happy." I didn't expect that. I never responded. Some performances don't deserve an encore. Story 10. He thought he'd won. Thought I'd crumble. When we divorced, he was already bragging to mutual friends about the freedom he'd regained and how wives are for suckers. He even joked that I should thank him for letting me go. Funny how karma plays out. I never planned revenge, never stooped to his level. I took my time. I focused on finishing my PhD, moved cities, and started teaching at a university. I wrote a book on emotional resilience, and it gained traction in some academic circles, landed me a TEDx talk. Life moved on. I grew. I healed. Then one night, he messaged me on LinkedIn of all places. Said he saw my video and that he always knew I'd be special. I didn't respond, so he tried again. Said he was struggling to find meaning, that his relationships kept failing, and he missed the stability we had. I finally wrote back, "You didn't let me go. You just got out of the way." That was the last I ever heard from him. Story 11. She strutted out of the courthouse like she'd just closed a $1 million deal. She even patted me on the back and said, "You'll thank me one day." I didn't reply. I was still trying to breathe. We'd been together since college, built everything from scratch. But she said I wasn't ambitious enough anymore. Said I was too content. I didn't argue. I just let her go. Over the next year, I doubled down on myself, moved to a new city, took on more contract work in design, and finally launched my own agency. I met new people, made new connections, and I started to enjoy life again. No drama, just peace. A year and a half later, she called me. "No, hello," just a shaky voice saying, "I messed up." Turns out the guy she left me for left her high and dry in a different state, took her savings and ghosted. She was alone, in debt, and wanted to talk. I listened for a minute, then calmly said, "Thank you for setting me free." Then I hung up. Story 12. He cracked a smile as he slid the pen across the table. Said something like, "You'll miss me when I'm gone," as if he was heading off to war or something noble. Truth is, he'd already moved in with someone he met on a gaming forum. Claimed she was his soul.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to help you save this 4th of July. Upgrade your laundry routine with the new and exclusive first-of-its-kind all-in-one vented laundry combo. Wash and dry in just 68 minutes. Save up to 40% on select major appliances. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Shop Samsung this July 4th at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Well, mate, I didn't say a word. Just signed. Walked away. 6 months later, I was sitting at a coffee shop finishing edits on my first novel. Something I'd shelved for years because he always told me it was a waste of time. I self-published it, thinking nothing of it. It went viral on BookTok. Sales exploded. Suddenly, I was being interviewed, invited to panels, and even landed a traditional publishing deal. He emailed, "No congrats. Just, saw your book. I didn't know you had it in you." I replied, "You didn't care enough to look." I haven't heard from him since. Story 13. He grinned as the judge finalized it. Not because he was happy. It was the grin of a guy who thinks he's two steps ahead. He assumed I'd crumble, beg him to come back eventually. But I didn't. I moved in with my brother temporarily, worked two jobs, and quietly went back to nursing school. Every time I felt exhausted, I pictured that smug smile. 4 years later, I was working as an ER nurse, living in a two-bedroom apartment with my dog and plants, and loving life. I was independent, fulfilled. One evening, guess who walked into the ER with a broken wrist? He looked rough, like life had slapped him hard. He'd gained weight, looked tired, and wore the same cocky grin until he realized who I was. I treated him professionally. No small talk. He asked if I ever thought of him. I said, "Only as a reminder to keep going." He went quiet after that. Story 14. She wore red lipstick to sign our divorce papers, like she was heading to a first date, not ending a 7-year marriage. She didn't cry. I did. She said I was too predictable, too routine. I cooked every Tuesday, folded laundry the same way, and always kissed her goodnight at 9:30 p.m. She said she wanted chaos, unpredictability, passion. So I gave her all the space in the world. Fast forward 2 years. I'd moved across the country, taken a job as a park ranger, something I always wanted to do but never did because she thought it was beneath me. I was hiking daily, breathing fresh air, living simply. No constant critiques, just peace. Then one day, I got a letter in the mail. Yeah, a letter. From her. Said she was inspired by my courage and wanted to visit the park sometime to catch up. I never wrote back. The truth is, I wasn't trying to be courageous. I was just trying to survive. And then I accidentally started thriving. Story 15. He looked so smug, so pleased with himself, like he'd just gotten away with something. After the divorce, he sold our shared car and went on a solo trip to Costa Rica to find himself. He posted shirtless photos, drank from coconuts, and captioned everything with "new beginnings." Meanwhile, I stayed behind with our toddler. I worked nights, went back to school online, and relied on my neighbor to help with daycare. It was hard, so hard, but I never gave up. Now, 5 years later, I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner. I own my car. My son is thriving. We dance in the kitchen while making pancakes, and I fall asleep each night knowing I did it all on my own. He showed up unannounced one afternoon. Had a duffel bag and sad eyes. Said he lost direction and asked if he could crash for a few nights. I opened the door just wide enough to say, "You lost that right a long time ago," then closed it again. The look on his face, that was the real end. Story 16. He said, "No hard feelings," and gave me that stupid half smile like he was doing me a favor. He left because I changed after our second miscarriage. Of course I changed. Grief isn't a vacation, but he couldn't handle the quiet, the sadness, the healing. He wanted someone who still laughed at his jokes and posed for selfies at brunch. Fine. I moved in with my cousin for a while, surrounded myself with people who didn't expect me to smile when I was bleeding inside. Then I went back to school and became a grief counselor. Turns out I was good at helping others through pain, even when mine still ached. 2 years in, I opened my own practice. One day, his sister reached out, said he'd lost a baby with his new girlfriend and was falling apart. I didn't reply. You don't get to walk away from someone broken, then want their strength when you're the one in pieces. Story 17. She brought cupcakes to the divorce signing. No joke. "To celebrate our freedom," she said, offering me one like this was a birthday party. I politely declined and left the building before I snapped. We'd been together 10 years. She said I lost my edge when I quit bartending to take an office job and focus on stability. After the split, I decided to really rebuild, physically, mentally, financially, took up woodworking, started documenting it online, and within a year, I had a decent YouTube following. That turned into a business. I built custom furniture, taught workshops, even did a collab with a local design studio. My name was finally on something permanent. Then she messaged me out of the blue.
said she saw my stuff on Pinterest and was so proud. Then she asked if I'd ever make a table for her new apartment. I told her, sure, our freedom isn't free. My table start at $3,000. She didn't reply. Story 18. He smiled when we finalized it, then said, you'll never find someone who gets you like I do. What he didn't know is that I already had someone, me. For years, I'd been bending and shrinking to fit inside his life. He didn't want a partner. He wanted a mirror. When I started standing up for myself, speaking louder, he recoiled. After the divorce, I took a solo trip to Japan. I stayed in tiny inns, hiked quiet trails, learned how to enjoy my own silence. That trip sparked something. I started writing travel pieces, got published in a few blogs, then landed a column in a regional magazine. I traveled, I wrote, I healed. A year later, he emailed me a long-winded reflection. He said he missed our conversations and hoped I was doing okay. I sent him a link to my latest article titled, How I Found Myself After He Lost Me. Never heard back. Story 19. We signed the papers in a cramped office while he wore sunglasses indoors and scrolled through his phone. He said, you'll thank me when you finally live a little. His idea of living was gambling our savings on crypto, missing job interviews, and dragging me to open mics where he bombed every time. I supported him, even clapped, but it was never enough. After he left, I panicked. I had nothing saved, worked two part-time jobs, and was drowning. Then, a manager at one of those jobs, an elderly woman who reminded me of my Nana, pushed me to apply for a scholarship program. I got in, finished a degree in finance, became a financial advisor. Guess who booked a consultation 2 years later? Yep, he didn't recognize my name until we met. His portfolio was a mess. He sheepishly asked if I remembered him. I smiled and said, I remember being broke because of you. Let's fix your money problems now. He couldn't afford my rates. Story 20. She cried signing the papers. But it wasn't sadness. It was from laughing. You'll be lost without me, she said between giggles. I was always the quiet one. She had the social energy, the big group of friends, the presence. I was just her plus one. She left to chase an acting career in Atlanta. I stayed in our small town, took over my dad's old mechanic shop, and honestly, didn't expect much. Until one day, a journalist doing a piece on rural entrepreneurs stopped by. They were fascinated by how I digitized the entire operation, built an app for appointments, and doubled the staff. That story went viral. Investors reached out. Now I run three shops across the state and teach business automation on weekends. She came back last winter, working as a server. I tipped her well. She pretended not to recognize me, but she did. Oh, she did. Story 21. When we signed the divorce papers, he was humming. Humming. As if he was in a grocery store, not ending a 9-year marriage. His final words to me were, you'll regret not being more fun. That was his issue. He wanted the spontaneous 20-something me forever. Not the mother of our two children who had postpartum depression and bills to mend. After he left, I had a breakdown. I'll admit it. I cried in the shower, stopped answering texts, and barely functioned. But then something clicked. I didn't want to survive for him. I wanted to thrive for myself. I joined a single mom support group, started a garden, and slowly rebuilt. Years passed. I bought a home through a grant program, opened a small childcare center, and became a voice for mothers struggling post-divorce. He reached out recently. He wanted to know if I could help get his niece into my program. I said, sure. We help kids, not cowards. Story 22. She smirked when she left the courtroom, keys to our joint car in one hand, her phone already dialing someone new in the other. I wasn't shocked. She always needed someone else lined up before she let go. The divorce was the final act in a long drama where I played the fool. I used the quiet to reset. Left the city, moved to my hometown, and helped my uncle restore his old record store. It turned into a community hub. Live music, vinyl events, teenagers learning about 80s sound. Local radio did a segment on us, and the shop took off. One day, she walked in, claimed she was just browsing. Her eyes scanned the store, then me, in disbelief. You actually did something with your life, she said. I just nodded and went back to stacking records. She didn't buy anything, just walked out slower than she came in. That silence was louder than any apology. Story 23. He joked with the clerk after we signed. Said, back to being a free agent. Like he was on a fantasy football team instead of ending a marriage. He left because I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and he didn't sign up to be a caretaker. No bitterness here. That was the wake-up call I needed. After he left, I joined a support group, started physical therapy, and shared my journey online. My blog turned into a platform for others with chronic illness. Sponsors came. Then, publishers. Now, I've got two books under my name, and I'm a keynote speaker for disability advocacy groups. He emailed me once, said he saw me on TV and that he always believed in me. I didn't respond. I just donated in his name to an MS charity. He may have walked away from the burden, but I became the story worth carrying. Story 24. We didn't even speak when we signed the papers. She looked me in the eye and gave a pitying smile, like I was a sad case, a man stuck in the past. She wanted a lifestyle upgrade, and I was just a software engineer who liked puzzles and ramen. She moved out that night into a condo with a guy who ran crypto boot camps. 6 months later, I got laid off and used my severance to build a tool that helped track digital art theft. It started as a passion project. Then it caught on. Got VC interest. 2 years later, I was the CTO of a startup that got acquired for seven figures. I was giving a TEDx talk when she messaged me. "Proud of you. Wish I'd been more patient," I left her on read. Not to be cruel, but because by then, I'd stopped needing closure from someone who never truly saw me. Story 25. She signed the papers with her left hand while texting with her right. I think she was already planning her moving day. She told me that the reason she was leaving was because I was too attached to dreams. I had spent years writing screenplays at night while working retail during the day. She wanted someone who'd grow up. After she left, I moved in with a friend and entered a short film competition just to feel alive. That script won, then another. Within 18 months, I was flown to LA to write for an indie studio. Now I make a modest living writing full-time, not blockbuster stuff, but real, heartfelt screenplays that get made. One of my films got picked up by a festival in our hometown. I didn't tell anyone. I just sat in the back row as the credits rolled, watching my name light up the screen. Later, someone told me she was in the audience. She apparently cried. And I didn't. Story 26. He signed the divorce papers like he was autographing a fan's t-shirt. Said, "Guess you'll have to find someone else to nag now." We'd been married for 13 years, and apparently I'd become boring. Reality was, he couldn't handle my cancer diagnosis. He disappeared emotionally the second my hair started falling out. The divorce came mid-treatment. He couldn't even wait until I finished chemo. I fought for my life while he partied in Miami with someone named Brittany. Yes, with an I. But I survived. Not just the cancer, but him. 2 years later, I did a 5K for cancer survivors. Bald head shining, surrounded by women who knew what real strength was. I even gave a small speech. He was there. Apparently, his new relationship didn't last past her realizing she'd have to take care of him financially. He approached me in the parking lot. "You look incredible," I just smiled and said. "Turns out boring women survive." Then I drove off, blasting Lizzo. Story 27. She brought champagne to the signing. Literally. A mini bottle in her purse. Popped it outside the courthouse, took a selfie, and posted it with the caption, "New chapter unlocked." Classy, right? She left because I wasn't exciting enough. I worked in IT, liked gardening, and preferred game nights to bar crawls. She wanted adventure. Ended up dating a skydiving instructor who lived in a van and said things like, "Society is a trap." While she was chasing thrills, I was quietly building an app that helped people with disabilities control smart homes through eye tracking. It won a tech innovation grant. I got invited to present it in Berlin. The press picked it up. She messaged me after the article went live. Said she was proud of me. Said I seemed different. I told her I wasn't different. She just never took the time to notice who I was beyond the surface. She left me for chaos. I built something with purpose. Story 28. He laughed through the entire signing. Like actual, wheezy sitcom character laughter. The lawyer asked if he was okay. He said, "I've never been better. I'm finally free." He was 38 and acting like a frat pledge. Said he was leaving me because I didn't support his music. His music, by the way, was terrible SoundCloud rap. After the split, I moved into a tiny apartment, worked two jobs, and started baking just to keep my hands busy. A friend posted one of my cakes on Facebook. That post got shared. Then people started ordering. Within a year, I opened a storefront. Now I have a bakery with 4 employees and a 6-month waitlist for wedding cakes. Guess who DM'd me last month? Said he misses our connection and still dreams about my snickerdoodles. I didn't reply. I posted a new cake photo instead. Captioned it, "Freedom never tasted so sweet." Story 29. She signed the divorce papers like she was accepting an award. "I deserve more than this," she said, motioning to my thrift store sweater and beat-up car. She wanted luxury. Said love wasn't enough if it didn't come wrapped in designer labels. I drove Uber for a while after she left. Worked nights. Slept in my cousin's basement. But I kept writing code. I'd been developing a budgeting app for people like me. Scraping by, trying to stay afloat. That app exploded. Financial influencers started sharing it. I got investors. I launched a startup. 3 years later, I was on the cover of a fintech magazine. The interview asked about my drive, my darkest days. I told them about the sweater, the car, the woman who thought I'd never be enough. She emailed me a week later, said she was happy for me and would love to reconnect. I archived the email. I had payroll to run and a keynote to prepare. Story 30. He wore cologne to sign the papers. Said he had a date right after. No offense, but I'm moving on fast. He was always shallow, but I thought at least he'd fake a little sentiment. We shared 6 years and two pets. But the moment I stopped dyeing my hair blonde and started gaining weight after thyroid issues, he said I let myself go. I cried for months. Then I stopped crying and started painting again. I hadn't touched a brush since college. I uploaded some pieces to Etsy. Then commissions came. Then an art residency offer. I built a small but loyal online following. I painted pain into power. One day, I was featured in a BuzzFeed list of artists turning trauma into triumph. He saw it. He texted me a photo of a painting I'd made years ago and said, "Remember this?" I did. I remembered everything. And I also remembered how to block a number. Story 31. When he slid the pen across the table, he looked like he was finishing a business deal. No emotion. No sadness. Just said, "No hard feelings, right?" This after I stayed through 5 years of infertility treatments, his job layoffs, and his mother moving in with us. But once he got promoted, he said he was reevaluating what he wanted in life. That didn't include me. I moved into a studio apartment above a garage. It had mice and smelled like mildew. But it was mine. I started journaling, then writing poetry. Just for myself. Until I wasn't. I self-published a book. Then another. People resonated with my words about healing, abandonment, and starting over. I was invited to speak at a literary festival. A woman from Penguin approached me. He saw me on a panel clip that made it to TikTok, messaged me from a new number, said he was glad I finally found my voice. What he never realized was, I always had one. He just never listened. Story 32. She dressed up for our divorce. Red heels, full makeup, hair curled. "New beginnings," she said, smiling like she was posing for a lifestyle blog. I didn't recognize the woman I married anymore. She said I was too ordinary, and that being a teacher wasn't impressive enough. After she left, I stopped trying to impress anyone. I focused on my students, poured everything into my classroom, started a reading initiative that ended up getting national attention. Local news did a feature. A nonprofit backed it. I got flown to DC to speak about education equity. 2 years later, she showed up at the school, said her niece was in my class and asked if I remembered her. I said, "Only when I teach kids the importance of humility?" She laughed awkwardly. Tried to linger. I went back to my students. They were more worth my time than her regrets. Story 33. He grinned when we signed. Said, "Good luck finding someone who'll put up with your anxiety." That line stuck with me longer than I care to admit. He always made my mental health feel like a burden. Like something I should apologize for every day. After the divorce, I finally sought proper treatment. Got a diagnosis. Medication. Therapy. I joined an online community that eventually became a podcast. I started talking publicly about living with high-functioning anxiety and navigating life after emotional neglect. That podcast took off. I've interviewed therapists, authors, even a few celebrities. He followed the show. I saw his name pop up as a new subscriber. A week later, he sent a message. "Didn't know you were this brave." I didn't reply. But I read that message before recording an episode titled, "You were never too much, they were just not enough." Story 34. She didn't say much when she signed, just looked relieved. She used to tell me I was too sensitive, that my emotions made things complicated. I worked as a hospice nurse, so maybe I saw too much of life's fragility. She wanted parties, noise, shiny things. I wanted quiet love and meaning. After the divorce, I started painting again. Something I hadn't done since college. I made portraits of patients, of grief, of moments no one else saw. A local gallery took interest. Then a university asked if I'd speak about how caregiving shaped creativity. Now I run expressive therapy workshops for people in palliative care. I heard she moved to Vegas and works at a high-end spa. Our lives don't intersect anymore. But when I held the hand of a dying man and his daughter thanked me through tears, I knew I didn't lose anything that day in the courthouse. I returned to myself. Story 35. He tossed the pen on the table and said, "Now I can finally be someone." I remember thinking, "I hope you find him, because I don't know who the hell you've been pretending to be." He'd always been chasing some version of himself that didn't exist. Musician, entrepreneur, philosopher. He left me because I wanted stability, and stability is boring. While he bounced from idea to idea, I took a promotion at work and started investing. I bought a duplex, rented out the other half, and used that income to start a small Etsy shop selling custom tech accessories. Something niche, something weird. It exploded. I was featured in a tech blog as the woman who made Nerdy profitable. My face. Front page. He messaged me the same day. Still boring? I didn't reply. I just screenshotted the article and posted it with the caption, "Being someone isn't about being loud. It's about being real." Story 36. When we walked out of the courthouse, she clapped her hands and said, "Wow, that felt like ripping off a Band-Aid." Then she turned and actually high-fived her best friend who was waiting outside. It was surreal. 7 years of shared rent, dreams, and holiday dinners reduced to a casual breakup celebration. Her reason? "I just don't feel inspired by us anymore." I was hurt, but not shocked. She'd been chasing a different version of life for years, partying with art scene people, talking about energetic alignment, and vibrational purpose. I was a high school chemistry teacher. Grounded. Simple. Steady. After she left, I leaned harder into teaching. I started a YouTube channel simplifying science concepts for kids who struggled. It went viral. I got offers to consult on educational platforms. Within 2 years, I was hosting a science segment on a morning show and got flown out to speak at a national educators conference. She emailed me out of nowhere. "No apology, just a line. You're kind of a big deal now." I didn't expect that. I didn't respond. But I did screenshot it and set it as a private reminder. Success doesn't shout. Sometimes it just outgrows the people who underestimated it. Story 37. He was smiling as he signed, cracking jokes about how we were finally leveling up from the tutorial round, like our marriage had just been practice for his next quest. He gamified everything, including our relationship. I used to find it quirky, endearing even. But toward the end, it was like I lived with a man-child who thought loyalty points mattered more than communication. He left to explore life untethered, sold his half of our condo to a sketchy buyer, and moved into a shared co-living space in Austin to work on crypto projects. Meanwhile, I stayed behind. I took the hit. I cleaned up the paperwork, paid off the shared debt, and rented out the spare room to stay afloat. But while cleaning house, I also cleaned my life. I started a side hustle coaching digital minimalism, helping people get offline, stay organized, find calm. It resonated. My newsletter exploded. Clients came in from all over. A publishing deal followed. One day, I got tagged in a Forbes article. Me. The same predictable woman he said was too afraid to dream. A month later, he messaged me, said he was sleeping on a friend's futon after some things didn't pan out, asked if I remembered the good old days. I did, but I'd rewritten the ending. Story 38. She wore a white jumpsuit to court, like it was a wedding in reverse. "You'll find someone more like you," she said, with this faux sweetness that made my stomach turn. I had caught her cheating twice, but somehow she spun the narrative that I was too distant, too busy with work. "I'm a paramedic." My busy was literally saving lives. After the divorce, I went numb. Didn't date. Didn't party. I just worked, ate microwave dinners, and walked my dog. That's when I met Rosa. She was a barista at a 24-hour diner I'd stop by on overnight shifts. We got to talking. She was kind, sarcastic, and didn't treat my exhaustion like a flaw. We dated quietly. She encouraged me to apply for a federal EMT leadership program. I got in. 2 years later, I was training first responders across multiple counties. Rosa and I got married in a simple ceremony. No drama, no guests in white jumpsuits. A photo of our wedding made it onto a viral feel-good post. Guess who saw it? My ex messaged me, "Wow, I'm happy for you. She seems chill." She is. And most importantly, she's honest. Story 39. He leaned back in his chair after signing the papers. Gave me this sideways grin and said, "I hope you finally write that book you're always whining about." That book had been my dream since before we met. But during our marriage, he treated it like a hobby, something I should do after chores and errands and making sure his gym bag was packed. He moved out the next day, straight into the apartment of a coworker I suspected for months he'd been working late with. I didn't confront them. I just got to work. I started waking up at 5 a.m. and writing before my job at the local library. I wrote through heartbreak, rage, loneliness, and eventually, clarity. 3 years later, that book was on shelves. Not self-published, legit published, with glowing reviews. It got picked up for adaptation by a small production company. I did a book signing in our old town. He showed up,
had the audacity to ask for a copy for nostalgia. I smiled, signed it, to the man who underestimated me. Thanks for the plot twist. Story 40, she whispered finally under her breath as she signed. I heard it. We were together 12 years, and she couldn't even mask her relief. Said she was tired of routine, that I didn't match her fire. In reality, I was working 60 hours a week as a chef while she stayed home, finding herself. I paid the bills. I cooked dinner. I walked our dogs. But none of that was fire, I guess. After she left, I took a sabbatical. I moved to a cabin a friend let me borrow in exchange for helping him renovate it. I cooked for myself again, for pleasure, not service. Then I started filming recipes, sharing stories behind the dishes. Those videos caught fire online. People liked the calm, no BS approach. A food brand reached out. Then a publisher. Now I have a cabin, a cookbook, and a YouTube plaque. She emailed me asking if I'd ever consider mentoring her new boyfriend. He wanted to get into culinary content. I replied, "Tell him to start by not abandoning people who fed him." Story 41. He winked at the clerk after signing the papers and said, "Single looks good on me." It was such a pathetic display of ego, I almost laughed, if I hadn't been so numb. We were married 6 years, and the last two had been him chasing self-help gurus and alpha male podcasts that told him to ditch anything that didn't serve his greatness. I became emotional baggage. He left for a woman who taught yoga in Bali, claimed she was spiritually aligned with his higher self. I didn't beg. I just started running every morning. 1 mile, then two. Eventually, I was doing marathons. I got into fitness coaching, got certified, built a client list, and then launched a fitness app aimed at women over 35. It exploded. Then, out of nowhere, I got a message on Instagram. "Hey, I always knew you had it in you. Miss our morning coffee talks." I didn't reply. I just posted a selfie crossing my third marathon finish line with the caption, "Thriving looks better on me." Story 42. She was already dating someone else when we signed. I knew. She wasn't even trying to hide it. Said he made her feel seen and that I was too emotionally closed off. She'd always wanted grand gestures and dramatic love declarations. I showed love through stability, fixing her car, cooking her favorite meals, remembering her appointments. That wasn't romantic enough, apparently. She moved out, and I poured myself into my side project, a mobile game I'd been coding slowly for years. With no more drama in the house, I finished it, launched it. It went viral among retro gaming fans. Suddenly, I had sponsors, merch, and a small team helping me expand it. It wasn't just a hobby anymore. A year later, she tagged me in a tweet that read, "Crazy to see your ex blow up on Steam when you used to tease him for tinkering with pixels." I didn't respond. I just pinned a review someone wrote, "This game feels like it was made with care. Not flashy, just solid, thoughtful, real. The kind of love she never valued." Story 43. He was grinning like a game show contestant when we signed the divorce papers. I was just trying to breathe. He told me I was too intense, that I should smile more, cry less. But he wasn't there when my dad died, when I miscarried, or when the panic attacks got so bad I couldn't leave bed. He had already checked out emotionally, but pretended it was mutual. After the split, I started writing letters to myself every night. Then I turned those letters into blog posts. They went viral among women dealing with hidden grief and unacknowledged trauma. I turned them into a book, then a workshop, then a retreat. He found out through a mutual friend and sent me an email that ended with, "You always did have something powerful inside you. Funny." He spent years trying to shut that down. Story 44. She wore designer sunglasses in court and called our divorce an exciting new chapter. She'd found someone with ambition, meaning someone who worked in finance and took her to expensive restaurants. I was a wildlife conservationist. I wore cargo pants and chased poachers through forests. Not exactly Instagram material. After the papers were signed, I took a research offer in Botswana. Lived out of tents, worked with elephants, documented habitat loss, and eventually published a paper that gained attention internationally. National Geographic called. I got featured in a documentary. When the trailer dropped online, she commented, "Can't believe I was married to a guy who ended up on Nat Geo." Neither could I, honestly. But the difference is, I went looking for purpose. She went looking for upgrades. Story 45. He said, "You'll never survive on your own," as we walked out of the courthouse. Not in a cruel way, more like someone making a bad prediction. He genuinely thought I'd fall apart without him. Maybe because I had panic attacks. Maybe because I'd been out of work since the layoff. Maybe because he'd been slowly convincing me that I was helpless. But I didn't fall apart. I found a therapist, took control of my finances, and got a remote job doing digital accessibility audits, something niche but necessary. I loved it. I was good at it. A few years in, I built my own consulting agency focused on helping small businesses become inclusive. 3 years after the divorce, I gave a talk at a national web development conference. They live-streamed it. Apparently, he watched. He sent a one-sentence email, "Guess I was wrong about you." I never replied, but I printed it, framed it, and put it right next to my company's first dollar earned. Story 46. She signed the papers and immediately took a selfie in front of the courthouse. "Freshly divorced," she captioned it, throwing up a peace sign. She told everyone I was boring, too serious, and just not enough fun. We'd met in college, survived a long-distance move, but when TikTok clout started meaning more to her than real conversation, I knew we were done. I didn't post anything. I didn't bash her. I just went quiet. 6 months later, I sold my car and took a job abroad as a language teacher. I lived modestly in a small village in Thailand. I started filming daily life, not for followers, but to show the beauty of slowing down. Somehow, my content took off. People craved the simplicity, the mindfulness. Brands started reaching out. I started a YouTube channel, built a community. 2 years after our divorce, she commented on one of my reels. "This is the peace I used to dream of." I didn't delete the comment. I just let it sit there. Because now I'm the one living what she called boring, and I've never felt more alive. Story 47. He laughed through the entire signing process. "This is the best I've felt in years," he told the lawyer, like he was checking out of a hotel instead of ending our marriage. He had cheated. Repeatedly. But according to him, it was because I didn't make him feel desired. I was humiliated, yes, but not broken. I moved into a tiny one-bedroom and took a job at a bookstore cafe. On the side, I started painting again. I had no plan, just a pull toward color and canvas. Customers started asking to buy the pieces I hung on the shop's walls. I opened a small online store. Then a gallery called. Then another. 3 years later, I was invited to Paris for an exhibit. My work was featured in a contemporary art magazine. That's when he messaged me. "Hey, you really blossomed. I always knew you had that in you." No, he didn't. If he did, he never would have spent so much time dimming my light. Story 48. She said, "You'll be happier without me," and walked away with her suitcase already packed in the car. She wasn't wrong, I just didn't know it yet. We'd spent 8 years married, but it felt like I was constantly auditioning for a role she kept rewriting. She wanted more passion, more ambition, more something. I could never tell what. After the divorce, I joined an improv group just to get out of the house. I was terrible at first. I froze on stage, forgot my lines, panicked during scenes. But I kept going. Eventually, I got laughs. Then applause. Then, an agent in the audience pulled me aside and asked if I'd ever considered acting. Now I do voiceover work. Cartoons, audiobooks, games. I'm not famous, but I'm fulfilled. I make kids laugh with characters I created. I go to conventions. I sign autographs. She reached out after seeing my name in the credits of a Netflix animation. Said she was shocked. I wasn't. Turns out, I just needed someone to stop rewriting me to find the right script. Story 49. He looked me dead in the eye and said, "You'll never make it on your own." Then he turned, walked out, and left me with two kids, an upside-down mortgage, and a dog he swore he loved. He moved across the country with a coworker and posted romantic couple photos within weeks. I didn't have the energy for revenge. I barely had the energy to get through each day, but I took one step at a time. I learned to budget down to the penny. I took on freelance editing at night while working full-time during the day. Eventually, my editing business grew. Authors referred me. I built a team. Now I own a boutique editing agency with 7 employees. I paid off the mortgage. My kids go to a school they love. We take road trips in a used SUV I paid for in cash. He emailed last month. Said he was between jobs. Asked if I knew anyone hiring. I forwarded the message to my spam folder. That's the only place his words belong. Story 50. She wore white to the court date. Not just white lace. Said it was symbolic. Like she was renewing her vows to herself or something. The drama was always part of her charm. Until it wasn't. She said I didn't get her anymore. And that being married felt like performing someone else's script. Meanwhile, I was just trying to keep us afloat with a startup that hadn't broken even yet. After she left, I crashed. My business failed. I moved in with my brother, sold my watch, and started delivering food to make rent. But during that time, I had space to think. I started writing again. Short fiction I hadn't touched in years. I shared a few online. They caught fire. One went viral on Reddit, then Medium. A literary agent reached out. I published a collection, then a novel. It was rough, raw, and full of pain, and readers loved it. A film studio optioned it last year. She messaged me after the movie announcement. Just one sentence. Was I in it? I didn't reply. I figured she'd figure it out when she saw the act.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Actress playing the role of a woman in lace, walking away from the life she couldn't appreciate. Story 51. He walked out of the courthouse like he'd just won a bet. Said, "Freedom looks good on me, don't it?" As if our 10-year marriage had been a prison sentence. He left to travel the world and live a little with a woman who sold crystals on Etsy and talked to her plants. His words, not mine. I didn't travel. I didn't reinvent myself. I stayed put, took over my late uncle's dusty old repair shop, and started fixing watches. Everyone said it was a dead industry, but I liked the quiet focus. Soon, I started posting restorations online. People loved it. A TikTok I made cleaning a 1940s pocket watch hit 2 million views. By year two, I had clients shipping me rare watches from Switzerland. I was interviewed by a luxury collector's magazine. He saw it. Of course he did. He DM'd me. "Didn't know you were still doing the watch thing. Looks cool." I left him on read. He always wanted noise. I found peace in the ticking. Story 52. She looked at me like I was a sad puppy when she signed the divorce papers. "You're just too small town for me," she said. She wanted fast cars, penthouses, rooftop parties. I wanted Friday night football games, potlucks, and someone to grow old on the porch with. She told me I lacked vision, so I bought a fixer-upper and turned it into a B&B with the help of a few locals and way too many YouTube tutorials. It wasn't glamorous, but it became the heart of the town. Travelers from all over stopped in. We hosted everything. Book clubs, weddings, reunions. Then a travel blogger stayed and wrote a glowing piece. Suddenly, I was booked out 6 months in advance. A few TV producers even pitched a reality show idea. That's when she messaged me. "I always knew you'd do something special. Just didn't think it'd be there," I replied. "That's because you never saw the beauty in things that didn't shine." Story 53. He gave me a thumbs up after signing the papers. "Thumbs? Upper? We'll laugh about this someday," he said. Except I wasn't laughing. I was barely holding it together. He said he didn't love me anymore and hadn't for a long time, but wanted to stay friends. I told him no thanks. I'm not the warm-up act for his next relationship. What I did instead? I adopted a senior dog. Didn't plan on it. Just saw him at the shelter with a last chance tag. Named him Gus. We saved each other. Turns out, people love heartwarming stories about old dogs getting a second chance. I started an Instagram for Gus. He went viral. Then I started fostering other senior dogs. A rescue foundation offered me a grant. Now I run a sanctuary for elderly dogs that no one else wants. Last month, he messaged me. "I saw Gus on the news." That's actually incredible. No, I'm actually incredible. Gus just helped me realize it. Story 54. She didn't smile when she signed. She beamed. She practically glowed. "You're a nice guy," she said. "But I need a main character life." That line haunted me for a while. I'd always been the guy in the background, steady, quiet, not flashy. She wanted fireworks. I gave her candles. After she left, I decided to just live for myself. I bought a used telescope, took night classes in astronomy, started posting photos of the moon. It became a niche page. People asked questions. I started making space explainer videos. Now I'm a science communicator with 500,000 followers, speaking at schools and planetariums. I even got invited to consult on a documentary series for a major streaming platform. She texted me after episode 1 aired. "Guess you became the main character after all." Nah, I just stopped letting people treat me like a supporting role in their chaos.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams One Coat Coverage Interior Paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.